Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, happy opening day as we get into baseball. What do you say? You just had your fill of 2 hours of baseball, I'm quite sure. You've got your fill now of 3 hours of sports and entertainment. Nick is here. I'm here. And that's what we are here for, is to entertain you while we keep you informed on the opening day of baseball with so much more to get to. Jimmy Jam, Slim Jim, James Harden didn't play a full game, but played enough for the Rockets to continue their woeful showing of a season. We can talk about that. We've got lots to get to with the Astros. Let's hope there's not any more stacking up with the Deshaun Watson situation with the Texans. But if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, bring it to us too, because we interact. That's what we do around here. So with that, I'm going to interact with my co-host, Nicholas. What's going on?
None much, man. I'm digging the new Astros cap there. That's got to be new.
No.
It's not?
It's the Bun B collection. Dr. Dre on 290.
Right. That's right.
My man Dr. Dre on 290 got this for me last year.
How could I forget?
Yeah.
Rocking the Astros gear.
Broke it out today. Yeah, to start the new year. Fired up about the Astros. Tired of, and you know these national guys more than me, but another national guy trying to make a statement says, Astros won't win the division. Angels will. Astros won't be a wild card. Others will. And then people, I looked at the comments. They were all listeners to our show. They were hammering this dude. It's like everybody's looking for clickbait right now to try and get people to notice them.
Right.
Just let it play out. The roster's fine.
Yeah, the roster's fine. And yes, they're not as good as probably the World Series teams, but they're still a very, very, very good team. And I think there's a lot of people outside the city of Houston that don't think that Houstonians are crazy when they think that they could win this division. So it's not like it's a crazy thing to say, a homer thing to say. The roster's fine.
Right. And it's a sexy thing, right? Because Rendon in a full season with the Angels and Otani's back and Trout. Everybody wants Trout in the playoffs. I don't care. Earn it. You know what? You don't gift someone a playoff berth because he's Mike Trout. You put a better team around him. And guess what? The Astros still have a good team around them. And that's why they should be favored to win the division.
I tell you what, and this is random, but I was watching the game, the Yankees game, when it started. Yeah. Does Gerrit Cole look like way more of an a-hole without the beard?
I get it a little bit.
He looks like more of a mean person without the, he looks nicer with the beard, which I feel like is...
That's
not
kind of
usual.
The opposite, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You look more rebellious normally if you have the beard.
I feel like.
But first of all, I hate Gary Sanchez. Because no one, when he does something, celebrates more
than Gary Sanchez.
and the way he's played the last couple years, it's like, okay, first of all, you are a liability at catcher, so they put you in for your bat. And if your bat isn't stellar, which it hasn't been, stop bat flipping on opening day with a home run. Just earn the keep that they overpay you to get. Yeah. I don't get that, but and obviously as an Astros,
you're not really big on big celebrations in general, unless it's justified. Some, you know what I mean? You win the national championship and MVP, whatever the case may be.
Well, with Joey Bats, the year that he hit the home run that essentially with that big bat flip because it won the game and won the series.
That was fantastic drama.
I would have flipped that damn thing farther than he did.
That was fantastic drama, though.
Tatis Jr., your boy, he likes to do it every so often. If it's on a big game-winning shot, let it go. Let him have some fun. But if it's like in the fourth inning of the third game of a four-game series against the Mariners, don't.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. There's always a right time for celebration. Sometimes I can kind of understand it when it's not that big of a deal, but maybe the guy or the particular athlete had like a long drought, and he was just trying to break out of that drought, and the fact that he got out of it, there's like this massive celebration, and then people take it as, well, you're celebrating a little too much. You haven't hit nothing in months.
Right.
So I can kind of see that, but no, I'm totally with you. But Gary Sanchez does seem to be that guy. He definitely seems to be that guy that likes to celebrate on the littlest things. So But yeah, man,
there's a lot on the radar to talk about today.
I don't even know where you want to start. I mean, first, I mean, I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the Chris Beard news. Texas officially makes the hire.
And we had mentioned it from the get-go. It was either, they were going to call Kelvin Sampson, I think, just to kick the tires, but that Beard would be the guy that would be most targeted and be the best guy for the gig. And it was the Tom Herman scenario. Been there before, wanted to be back there at some point, may not get another opportunity. You're either so dedicated to what you've done at Tech or this was the one gig he would leave for, and he did.
Yeah, it's one of the few gigs that you kind of stop what you're doing and you take, despite the fact that he was already one of the highest-paying college basketball coaches, despite the fact that they went to the national championship game in 2019 and lost. But Jeff Goodman was the first to officially report this from the stadium. Texas Tech did everything that they could, Joel, to keep Chris Beard. I mean, you literally had restaurants offering him food for life, but... And maybe they had a better chance of keeping Chris Beard, Joel, had Chaka Smart not did what he did and left for Marquette. You know what I mean? Once that Texas job becomes available, it changes your perspective as a basketball coach. It doesn't matter how successful you are. I am of the belief, though, I'm starting to get to that point where sometimes it's just better off to stay at a smaller school. But I understand the reason to go to a school like Texas and get paid and get the exposure. I get it. I can't hate on that. But, man, there might be a trend where you start seeing people just passing up these big schools because nobody wants another Shaka Smart situation at Texas. Let's be honest.
Well, but let's also weigh something into that, Nick, because the way I would push back on you on that is I understand Texas has all the money and Texas has an unbelievable athletic department, but you're always going to be second fiddle to football at the University of Texas. Do you want that? It's like going to Kentucky
to be a
football coach or going to Alabama
for basketball
to be the basketball, Nate Oates. You're never going to be where you always want to be. You might be at the university making money, and you might even have a winning team. But you're never going to overcome what's already been set in stone, which is at certain schools, certain things are the biggest thing on the planet. For instance, Roy Williams, unbelievable career. And I kind of, a lot of people, I guess, maybe didn't see this coming, but all of a sudden, yet today, pulls the plug and says, I'm retiring. The North Carolina job is a massive job, one of the top five jobs in the country. And if you're the North Carolina football coach, even if you are Mac Brown and you've been there, done that, and you're doing it again, and you've done well, you know going in, we are second fiddle to basketball.
Yeah, there's no question, especially at North Carolina, especially with Roy was able to do. And yes, you got to remember, Roy is the third most winningest coach in the game. It's basically Coach K, Jim Boeheim, and him. And so what he did with that program, and I remember, and you guys, people forget.
He didn't cheat like Boeheim at Syracuse.
Oh, no, he did it. Oh, don't get Largo started on that guy. He's been going off on Charlie. But I will say this. I will say this. People also forget about his stint in Kansas. He made 14 tournament appearances at Kansas. I think he had 4 conference championships. And the guy has an unbelievable win-loss record, Roy Williams. So, but good for him. 70 years old, I think, and gets to retire. Kind of shocking to me, but hey. You know, go enjoy your life. You've made millions of dollars and go ahead and do your thing. Chris Beard getting the hire, I think, is probably a little bit bigger, at least down here in Texas, just because it's Texas. But Roy Williams leaving is a massive change in the college basketball landscape.
And think about it. He's 70 years old, right? 33 years coaching, okay? And I think that at that point, no matter what, and like you said, at 2 major blue blood university basketball programs, you won consistently. So you earned your stripes, and someday you'll be in the Hall of Fame, and you are one of the top tops. At the same time, you don't need the every year pressure, right? Because we've talked about this. Ever since the one and done came into college basketball, look at Calipari this year too. Calipari at Kentucky, Roy Williams at Carolina, Coach K at Duke. All 3 teams took it in the shorts this year, but Kansas at least found a way to get there, right? But those other 3 programs... You're great when you're winning, but the pressure to do it every year, the pressure on Coach Cal to get 4 or 5 blue chip McDonald's All-American 5-stars for Coach K and Roy, and I think at 70 years old with all that he's put in the books, at a certain point you go, I don't need this anymore. We had a down year. I don't know if my recruiting this year is going to be any better. And before they decide, hey, it's time to show me the door, I can fade into the sunset. My reputation stays spotless, and I can just call it a career and go, you know what? I did enough. I did think all
there's
I could do.
There's quite a few coaches out there that hit the Big 7-0 or close to the Big 7-0 that are probably thinking like that. You look at Pete Carroll, he's 70. You look at Nick Saban, he's turning 70. Like, these are the things that you think about when you've been that successful at 70. Now, I mean, you could take look at a Cully, for example, who didn't get his first opportunity until almost 70. I think he's like 65. I mean, it's different. But when you've had the success that Roy and everybody else has had, it's easier to walk away from the game at your own merits and everything like that.
So, short of Saban, because he continues to roll through five stars, right?
So I don't know if that's going to...
And that's not slowing down.
Right.
But when you look at college basketball, and like you said, the landscape kind of changes. There's a little more parity. Other schools are getting these top recruits. And so you look at even a Quentin Grimes, who was originally going to Kansas. He went to Kansas, didn't like it, transfers back home, gets to the U of H. He's there. Now he's succeeding. Other guys that are five stars are looking at this going, I don't have to go to one of those schools. I can go to another school where I'm going to be the focal point of the offense. I can excel. It still's not going to slow me down and get into the league. I can do these things too. More parity, more pressure on those top five schools that are trying to do it. I don't understand from a Texas standpoint, and we even said from an A&M standpoint, when you have the resources, the facilities, and everything that you have going for you at Texas for sure and at A&M with Buzz Williams, how can you not win?
We always talk about that. I'm guilty of mentioning that quite a few times, but I feel like sometimes when you have all these amazing facilities, man, it just makes it too easy on them. You need sometimes for them to work and struggle for everything. I mean,
get like College Station's a small town. It's not for everybody.
No.
Right? And it's the only thing there is the university. But Austin is a hip and cool spot and everything going
there
for
really
you.
Isn't no excuse.
We used to have training camp at the University of Texas when we were the Rockets. And the Rockets guys would come back and go, their facilities dwarf ours. Our one practice court, they have two or three or four. Their budget for gear and shoes and all that
is ridiculous.
Like four times what we get, and we're in the NBA. They have everything. That's why Kevin Durant went there. That's why TJ Ford and all the different guys that went there. But then why does it stop?
But that's why a school like that, when you take that job, I mean, you better be very confident in your ability to be successful. Because it could take you from, oh, man, Chris Beard is an amazing coach, to you look like doo-doo, and Shaka Smart can tell you all about it.
Tom Herman
can tell you all about it. And, I mean, look, maybe that's worth it to some people. I mean, I might be that guy that says, look, man, I've been coaching at VCU, but now you're giving me an opportunity to coach at Texas. I mean, we had Reed Geddes from the Five Slam of Gem on with Charlie Pelillo, and he said Shaka was in over his head. That's as far as he was in over his head. The guy who everybody was praising at VCU. No one could say enough good things about Shaka Smart when he was coming out of VCU,
you know,
and now he's in over his head.
With big deals and big money comes big pressure and big expectations.
Yeah.
You can't have one with, like, for instance, you win the regular season, so be it. But how far did you go in the tournament? Or what'd you do in the postseason? You won the postseason tournament, but how far did you go in the NCAAs? You got bumped in the first round? All that stuff behind you doesn't matter. Everything in front of you is now on the radar.
I mean, look at this guy's record, Chris Beard.
He's a good coach.
112-55 at Texas Tech, 142-60 at the Division I level, which is a 70% rate.
He's a really good coach, and he's where he wants to be. But that's why I just say I caution him to look at Tom Herman, to look at Kevin Sumlin at A&M, to look at all these guys that took their dream job to get to the university they had to be at and didn't realize. With the big dollars comes the big pressure and expectations, and you got to live up to it every year. And that's maybe why Roy said, I've been doing it for too many years. I don't need this pressure every year.
You don't. I mean, look, if I'm him, the guy became the head coach over there at University of at North Carolina in 2003. Okay? That's a long-ass run, and you're 70, and you've won, and you've won national championships. You're the third most winningest coach in college basketball. Not a bad time. Not a bad time to retire, but I figured that'd be the biggest news. Obviously, the Houston Rockets blew another lead, so I guess that's a good thing, right? No update on Deshaun Watson.
Thank God.
We cannot forget that it's opening day, baby.
Yeah, I know the little guy before me reminded you
several
times.
He is so excited. It is unreal.
I'm sure he's going home to get in the big chair right now with a stepladder, and he's going to watch it.
A stepladder. See, you picked on his height this time. You get on to me about calling him little man, and then you said a stepladder.
You go way too far. Happy Burrito Day, by the way.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that story a couple days ago when they were planning. It's a weird co-promotion, but it's worth mentioning.
The El Pollo Loco, I get. You buy a burrito today, you get one free. That's a great deal. We'll get to the Chipotle one. It's a little more complex, and I don't know. Okay. We'll get to it, see what you think. Just getting started. We love to have you be a part of it. HR&P Listener Line, 713-780-3776. Call or text, otherwise Twitch and Twitter on Twitter, at the producer Nick. At Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the Press Box, just getting it rolling, ESPN.
ESPN.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Well, Nick's playing it for a reason. Tonight, they play for real. Tonight, your Astros in the Bay Area to take on the Oakland Athletics. One of the teams that is supposed to fight for a division title in the American League West. We
the way you say that.
See. Yes. Yes.
I figured this is the most appropriate time. We played this quite a bit when Josh was here, but I used to play this all the time on the network, and people loved it. People actually recognize this song a lot more than from
it's
a national. I'm talking about national, not just local, than you would think.
This wasn't as big as the Love You Blue song when the Oilers were big.
But it's still pretty recognized. You'd be surprised how many people outside of Texas know this song. Yep. So
Stros tonight, Grinke on the hill. No major surprises on the roster. We mentioned the good news. Fromber seems to really be progressing, so that's great. Odorizzi's supposed to be pitching by the end of the first homestand, so that is on an accelerated curve to have him back, which is fantastic.
I think a lot of people are excited about that, the fact that he's ahead of the game, Odorizzi. I think that's going to be huge, too. But Valdez, I think, look, we talk about the roster all the time, and it's you look at some of these other rosters across the league, and you got to feel good about yourself. There's some other rosters out there. You just kind of know they're not going to do very well this year. There's literally nothing that they could do. So I like the depth. I mean, obviously they could be a little bit deeper, and Click was pretty transparent about saying how he needed to focus on the arms as opposed to hitting. Like, they prioritized that. That's not saying he wasn't going to do any fielding or get any players for better depth at the fielding level or better arms or better bats. But he just said the priority was arms.
And it should be. You know why? Because right now you're going to give Miles Straw an opportunity. You're going to bank on the fact that Yordan's going to be back full strength and be close to where he was rookie of the year regular season. That Altuve is going to bounce back, which it looked like he will, and he's going to bat leadoff. The bigger question is going to be, is Yuli Gurriel officially over the hill and done, or can he bounce back after a horrendous season as well? Because he's older, and that's going to make it tougher. But he doesn't have to focus on the bats for now, because everybody looks at that lineup and goes, yeah, there's some ifs, but overall, it's still one of the top 10 offensive lineups in baseball.
Yeah.
From a pitching perspective, can the young arms, are they going to have a sophomore jinx, or are they going to be right on par with where they were last year? Can Fromber come back sooner rather than later? Does a veteran like Odorizzi fit in? And the bullpen's the biggest thing. You have to realize, if I don't have a closer, it's Presley. If Presley falters at all, I don't have a fallback plan like I've had previously. Can I go get an arm? And then, a month in, if you see that Yordan's scuffling, if you see that you need a center fielder, now you can go, you know what? I'll focus now on what I didn't have to focus on to start the year.
Oh, okay. So you can, I see what you're saying. And I think that's true. But I mean, the unfortunate situation in terms of the pitching, like you mentioned, if some of these young guys come through, is they kind of have to depend on guys that have not proven themselves quite yet, at least from a consistent standpoint. And that's where the iffiness starts, right? Because if there's like, even Lance McCullers, he gets the deal and everything, but a lot of people are not completely sold on the health part. Carlos Correa, when we talk about his deal, it's not necessarily the performance all the time. It's is he going to be consistent enough and play on the team? And there's a lot of players. There's a few pitchers on the squad where it's not just a health situation; it's a consistency situation, even when they are healthy, and they have to depend on them. So that's probably why a lot of people are poking holes in this roster and think they're not going to do, or I guess the Bleacher Report hot take that we mentioned yesterday, that the Astros wouldn't win the division. Is that what they were saying?
Yeah, a lot of people are jumping on that bandwagon. A lot of people predicting that it's
right.
going to be the
That was
Angels.
Their hot take from the team.
Right.
And
right.
I don't look too much into that at all. But I think they're just poking holes in the roster and saying they're not going to be that great.
And the easiest way you put dispel all that, just go out and play ball and win games. And I think that they have a roster fully capable of doing that. They're playing in a division that's less than stellar. The Mariners and the Rangers are definitely down. It's going to be a three-team race from the get-go. It's going to be the A's and the Angels if you believe that they've made upgrades. And they always fade.
And it's going to be the Astros. And Marcus Semien left the A's. And that was a big leave because he had a massive year and he joined the Toronto Blue Jays. They need a shortstop. Yes, they have some. They have a good stable of young talent. Will they go out? They're always on a shoestring budget. Will they go out and spend money to try and get themselves better? I don't think so. The Angels, who always throw more money than they have to at guys that don't deserve it, see if they can bounce back and find the magic potion where Rendon is a guy that does what he's done in the past in another league, in the National League. If Pujols, before he walks away, can actually walk to first base and play decent in the field and doesn't completely leave you hanging, and Trout does what he does. Yeah, there's a good nucleus there, but is it equal to the Astros? I don't think so.
No, a lot of people feel that way, too. A lot of people feel that way.
Well, the Astros are expecting a lot from McCullers, right? And they gave him the money, but they want his health to still be there coming off the surgery.
Oh, they want him to produce now.
Angels doing the same thing. Shohei Ohtani, who they spent a ton of money just to get, and then he had Tommy John.
That's a perfect example, because he's another guy, if he stays healthy, then you're like, okay. But it's all about him staying healthy. And that guy can ball. I like Ohtani a lot. If that guy can come through and stay healthy, that guy's going to be unbelievable for the
Angels.
Well,
he's not just a pitcher. He's your designated hitter in first base every day, too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more riding on it. If he does succeed, to your point, he could succeed at one or the other. If he does it both, then you're ideal.
Oh, that's the perfect situation for them. If he does well at both, I mean, that's the perfect situation for the Angels. That is the absolute perfect situation for the Angels. If he comes through, I think he's going to become one of my favorite players. He's no Tatis, but he'll definitely, in my mind. But yeah, he'll definitely become one of my favorite players for sure.
And so with that, you just, again, like you said, you watch everything that's going on and say, hey, I think the bigger ifs are with the other teams. How, you know, and the bigger hows. How does Oakland replace Marcus Semien and Davis and some of the guys they lost? How do the Angels make sure Ohtani stays healthy? You know, make sure that they replace some of the holes that they have, and still their never-ending question of how do you improve your pitching staff? As opposed to, Astros got young arms that have been there, done that in the playoffs and the regular season. They've got a couple of veterans in the rotation, and they're getting guys back that were big factors 2 years ago, Jordan. And guys that if they had one bad year like Altuve, I'm not banking on them having two. And if all we need to do is get some production out of Miles Straw just a little bit, and that Gurriel could get back to somewhat decent.
Gurriel gets back to somewhat decent, Brantley continues to do what he does and what bats probably are right around 300, maybe a little bit below.
Mm-hmm.
Altuve doesn't show like the best baseball is completely behind him.
Right.
I mean,
and more than that, Yuli, because he's older.
Right.
And then on top of all that, Nick, you just think about it and you say, they're in a good position, but they could be in a great position if guys do what they're supposed to do.
And they could be a surprise team. They could be a scary team.
And you could be in a position where later in the season, you're not looking to just add a guy that gets you over the top to get in the playoffs. You're looking at a guy that, could possibly put you in a different stratosphere to compete for a championship.
That'd be crazy. That would be crazy. Nothing would be better for this town considering what the other teams are going through. And the fact that they would get this win after the scandal when everybody just absolutely nothing would be better for this city than the Astros winning a World Series. That would be absolutely amazing.
And the one thing we haven't talked about yet is the one thing that would make it even better for Astros fans before we get to that point, which would be Carlos Correa somehow finding a way to sign on the bottom line before the first pitch tonight.
Lindor got paid.
Does that help or hurt?
I don't know.
And where are we at with Carlos Correa? That's something we can talk about as we go forward. Half hour into the program, 3-hour extravaganza, plenty more time and opportunities for you to be a part of it. It's the Press Box. It's ESPN.
ESPN. 97.5.
Is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on the Press Box, half hour into the program, and we are rolling along. We've got some people questioning Chaka Smart. No, he's never won anything in the NCAA with Texas, and he won't. He took BCU as the first team ever to go from the first four to a final four. So
yeah,
that's kind of what Nick was saying in terms of taking a small school, and some guys are better fit for small schools. So maybe Marquette's a better fit for him, much like the VCU situation.
And I think it will be, man. I think it'll be a better situation. I'm not saying he's going to go and take that program and make them completely different, but I don't think there'll be a bad team with Shaka at the helm. I don't think so. So I'm all for it. I am all for it, baby.
And so with that said, Chris Beard is the new coach of the University of Texas, if you missed it. So that was news of the day. Roy Williams stepping away at University of North Carolina. That's going to be a big opening. Now my question there was, and I was talking before the show with some of the guys, everyone's going to want the Carolina job.
Everybody. Whatever commitment people had and said, I'm going to be at this school forever. If there's even a remote chance for them to take that gig at North Carolina, they're going to be like, you know what? I know I said I wouldn't leave.
If you were to rate
but
the
I'm leaving.
Top jobs in college basketball.
It's up there. I mean,
Duke.
At some point, you can't get any better. You get what I'm saying?
Duke, Kentucky, right off the top.
Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina.
Kansas, North Carolina, and I'm missing one. Duke and Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky.
I mean, what is something from your Indiana? Isn't that big to you?
No. But, I mean, that's such a big gig. There's only a few coaches that wouldn't jump at the opportunity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Texas probably in college basketball is probably not as big as those other schools. But Texas, just the name Texas kind of has, it's just known to be a big school in general. So I guess SC kind of had that back in the day. I guess they still kind of do. Just is a big name. But yeah, I would say Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina. Those are probably the big.
Kansas.
Those are probably
top
the four.
Yeah. So Roy Williams out. Now, and this is the weird thing. This is the Mario Elie situation. A couple years ago, remember back in the day, just about 5-6 years ago, Mario Elie was coming off a great year as an assistant in Dallas. Everybody talking about him for a head coach. Mavs make a decent run. By the time he's free, all the jobs are full. He doesn't get an opportunity. He's still sitting and waiting. Now you're looking at a guy like Jerry Stackhouse, ex-player, a guy that everybody was talking about similar to Mario Elie. Jerry Stackhouse, much like Danny Manning, an ex-player, you get an opportunity at a Division I, at a decent Division I head coaching job. Stackhouse with Vanderbilt. Danny Manning got it at Wake Forest. You don't say no.
No.
They're knocking on your door. They're throwing years and money at you, and you get an opportunity that this is what you want to do with the second step in your career. You take it.
Yeah.
Danny Manning failed miserably. Jerry Stackhouse hasn't got off to a great start at Vandy. But, Nick, Jerry Stackhouse is a Carolina Tar Heel, and they are as loyal as just about anybody in terms of looking within first in terms of the Carolina family. They're going to want someone with Carolina ties.
Jerry Stackhouse is a name. That's a good name. But I guess the timing didn't work out for Jerry Stackhouse because he didn't get
At Vandy.
And he didn't get it not too long ago.
Right, and it's been pretty recent. I don't know that he would – I don't know that there's so much pressure to win.
And I like Stackhouse. Actually, I've met him once.
He
seems like a really, really good dude.
I just don't know if he's experienced enough to slide into that role. Right.
Yeah.
He's still learning as he goes as a head coach. I think at Carolina – when you know that Michael Jordan can pick up the phone and James Worthy and Carolina alums and go, I got a Rolodex full. I can call anybody and I can call guys at other schools and go, you want the Carolina job?
Are you
interested in it?
I imagine North Carolina is going to be inundated with requests from people's agents and stuff like that. I imagine they're going to get a bunch of calls and emails saying, hey, how about this guy? How about this guy? Because really, it's not North Carolina lobbying for this spot to be filled. They know they can get this job.
They're going to have their pick of just about anybody.
Exactly. They're going to look at all these people that want to take this gig, and they're like, maybe you, definitely not you. It's going to be an absolute just field day in terms of choices. So, and this is going to be big because when a school hasn't hired a head coach for a very long time, this is really, really big. You know what I mean? Because they're not necessarily, they don't have the reps in, which I guess that's kind of a good thing in terms of looking for candidates and stuff like that. There's never been any controversy surrounding Roy Williams to the point where he would have to be forced to retire or quit. There was no scandals. There was no, you know, massive situations there at North Carolina that eventually forced him out of that job. So now you have a situation where a program hasn't hired anybody in how many years, and now they got to make it just right because obviously being North Carolina, There's some expectations
and
there.
Again, you know the name I'm going to throw out there. In terms of if they don't stick it into the Carolina family and they want to do it the right way, John Beilein, because look, Carolina, because they like that kind of blue blood. They like that older blood, been there, done that, experienced guy.
Yeah.
And they haven't had to choose too many, from Dean Smith to the fact that they got Roy Williams after that. But a guy like John Beilein, because what he was doing at Michigan, look, Juwan Howard capitalized for the most part on the roster that John Beilein left behind when he left for the Cavaliers. And then he found out, which we've talked about time and time again, when the players make more money than you and the style that you used in college ain't going to fly on the pro level in terms of respect, and you're not going to yell at me and you're not going to talk down to me and you're not going to scold me, and you find out it's not your cup of tea and you got paid, you want to get back in the business, there's a job that a lot of schools are going to go, that's a pretty good coach. George Karl. Now, there's a Carolina guy. Got Carolina in his blood, played at Carolina, coached a long time in the NBA.
Didn't even think about George Karl, but he might be a little... He might be too far gone. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. He just may not be ready for the gig right now. Not necessarily saying he's incapable, but it may be a situation where it just may not be the right fit. I'll just say it. He might be too old for that gig right this
point. It's possible.
And he's
entirely possible.
And he's a cancer survivor, too, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right.
So, I mean, it's not like it's the easiest situation ever. And someone said UCLA. Yeah, you're right.
Used to be.
I would probably put UCLA over Kansas at one point. I mean.
Well, back in the day. And, you know, since John Wooden, you had some good runs for UCLA. And this is obviously a good one. And they got a good coach in Mick Cronin. He did great things at Cincinnati at a tough recruiting school to get people to go to and had success. And obviously the success he's had this year, he will capitalize on that. And being in Southern California, he's going to have so many kids looking at that school going, God, why wouldn't I want to be living in Westwood, close to L.A., living the life, loving the weather on a beautiful campus where everybody's going to see me.
Yeah, I don't see how some of these decisions are just too obvious. And sometimes when you make the decision to coach somewhere, you'd be surprised, even though you're still at the college level, the culture is completely different. Like Chris Beard right now, we talk about how, man, coaching at the NBA or the professional level is different because chances are that player is making more money than you and you have to control egos and blah, 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 blah. But you look at the culture from Texas Tech to Texas, that's going to be a culture shock in itself. Just it's like a lateral movement that's not a lateral movement, because the players and the attitudes on that Texas squad, despite the fact that they haven't really won anything, it's still going to be bigger than the egos and stuff on Texas Tech. And I think that's just a completely different dynamic. He's going to see that. And that's where we're going to really test Chris Beard's ability.
Think about it. It factors in whether you want to admit it or not. Do I want to go to Lubbock? Or do I want to go to Austin?
Yeah, we
right?
talked about this.
Do I want to go to UCLA in Southern California? Or do I want to go to Lawrence, Kansas? You know, or wherever it may be. If it's equal, like Lexington, Kentucky, Lawrence, Kansas,
yeah,
or UCLA, or Chapel Hill, or Raleigh, or if Mick Cronin gets on a roll, look at Gonzaga. The only reason why people are going to Gonzaga, it's in Spokane, Washington, but it's for basketball. They're the only thing going. So you really have to be just focused on this
on
is
that,
all
yeah.
I want. But if I can get that and more, like UCLA, like I think Austin gives you a step above, because Austin's a phenomenal city.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Austin or Lubbock, it's not even a debate. It's not even a debate. Who wants to live in Lubbock? No offense, Lubbock. Like, if you're going to compare it to
even
Austin.
Even College Station.
Oh, without a doubt. Agreed. It's not even a debate. And Chris Beard knows that. I mean, Chris Beard has been in Texas his whole time. I think he coached at Woodlands High School. He's been in Texas schools for so long. So he knows.
Yeah.
He knows. He knows the difference in the dynamic in Austin and blah, blah, blah. He knows all that. People know that in general. People that are not from Texas know that. And look, Lubbock is a great college town. It really is. If you are someone that a lot of people that I've, the interns included, that gone to Texas Tech, they
sure.
absolutely
yep.
love the school. They love the campus. They love everything about it. But it's just a whole different world in Austin. It's just a whole different world.
Yep, no doubt. So those are the big news. The big news on the college front that have come out today with Texas hiring Chris Beard. Astros tonight. Rockets lost last night. But let's not turn the page completely. For three quarters, team was rolling, built a big lead, then Slim Jim Harden gets a little hammy issue and you're like, oh, it's all there for them. Did they tank? Did they just fall apart? Some people were blaming Steven Silas. Christian Wood took full blame on his shoulders. Daniel House, of all people, said, no, it's not on him, it's on us. Who do you blame? Are you mad? Are you not? Because you got to keep losing. So we'll see how that goes. We got plenty more to talk about as we keep rolling through the show. Do us a favor. Be us a part of it. Be a part of it. 713-780-3776 for calls and texts, otherwise Twitch and Twitter. It's Nick and Joel in the Press Box, ESPN.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, we're going to keep rolling. That was the college basketball news of the day as we obviously prepare for the big games this weekend with U of H and Baylor, UCLA, and Gonzaga. Nick continues to poop all over Baylor.
Oh, so, the Baylor Lady Bears are still in the NCAA tournament? I thought they got bounced last week.
They did.
Well, the White of Kook still got a plan.
Okay. He's at Nick at the producer Nick on Twitter. Otherwise, have at it. From a baseball perspective, we covered that. Now, the one thing we didn't cover is the Correa thing. Now, Lindor signs a 10-year, $341 million deal that was announced this morning.
And Carlos.
How does that affect Carlos Correa? Because here's the thing. You and I talked about this the other day. Comparison shopping. I get Correa wants to get paid, but if Correa tries to make the argument, I am Francisco Lindor. I am the same player. I am as good. No, you are not. You just aren't. It's not that you're a bad player.
You're just
not
him.
That player.
And if he continues to, like, I can see him looking at the Lindor deal as a barometer, but not necessarily to say, well, if he gets that, then I should get. I can see a situation where he gets this, but I'm not, you know, if he uses it as a barometer and says, yeah, I want a long-term deal, just not as quite as crazy as Lindor. But no one's going to do that. Like, who in their right mind who's trying to sell themselves on getting a bigger deal is going to say that? So I don't know how much of it he actually believes and how much of it is, well, I'm just negotiating to get the best possible contract. You know what I mean?
But and here's the other thing you got to ask yourself, Nick. So not all people are wired the same way. There are people that, like James Harden, for example, okay? James Harden's one of those guys when the spotlights are semi-bright. The opponent is decent, or it's not the biggest stage. He'll perform his ass off.
Yeah.
But when the stage is the biggest, the lights are the brightest, or he is night in, night out, the man, he doesn't handle it all that well all the time.
And that's kind of why I disagreed with Palillo, partly because of that point that you just made, that we're not talking a few dollars here. We're talking about contract negotiations that are responsible for millions of dollars.
So that's
it's
where
going,
I'm going
to impact Correa during the if they don't come through with a deal before the game, which I'm assuming they're probably not.
Well, they're still talking, and according to Granato and Lance, they were leaning more like they're going to get a deal done. Other people weren't so confident.
But if they don't, is my point. There's no way that doesn't impact Carlos Correa during the regular season. There's no way. There's just no way.
And that's what I'm thinking too. So if you're Carlos Correa and if you're listening to the show, I mean, which way do you think he goes? Because a lot of people think he's got big balls after the playoffs last year, and he's a leader, and he's tough, and he can mentally he's strong, and he can take it all.
Okay.
But I don't know when you're talking about, it's one thing to say you made a great run in a playoff. It's another thing to say, I'm playing for my next career. I mean, for my next contract. I'm playing for the biggest contract of my career. I'm looking for 6 to 10 years. I'm looking for $25 to $35 million a year. I got to really step it up, and I got to make that playoff run last a whole season and a whole lot longer because, as we said, too, like with these college coaching jobs, once you get the money and the contract, you got to live up to it. And if you don't, the boo birds are coming out, the fingers are being pointed, the microscope gets more magnified, and you got a whole hell of a lot on your shoulder.
And I think Correa is willing to deal with that part, right, where if he gets paid and doesn't perform, like, whatever, I got paid. So a part of me wonders if he kind of knows he's not as good as Lindor, but he's not going to say it. Why? Because of contract negotiations, sure. Which in that case, I don't necessarily blame him. Maybe he knows deep down that he's not as good as Lindor, but he's never going to say that to James Click and company. And I can see that happening.
You're Carlos Correa and your agent. I am the Astros and James Click. I'm sitting at a negotiating table with you right now. We're looking at the clock. We know we got a game tonight. I'm saying to you, what's it going to take to get a deal done? And tell me, in your words, why you are worth more than Alex Bregman, closer to Francisco Lindor, and how many years do you think you're worth getting? Because that's the biggest thing that you and I have both been hung up on. You haven't been able to stay healthy in any season, and you want me to give you 6 to 8?
And if I'm Carlos Correa, I'm sitting here nitpicking all the stats that show that I was doing wonderful things and completely avoid the fact that he wasn't healthy for a lot of these games. He wouldn't even bring up the fact that he's not a healthy person, because why would he? He's going to focus on everything.
But what are you banking on? Is it all about the playoff run last year?
And honestly, I don't think Carlos Correa has a number in mind that he knows he wants. I don't even think he knows.
I think
he's trying
ballpark.
To see how much the Astros are willing to pay him.
I think he's got a ballpark.
Ballpark agreed.
And I really believe he wants this done instead of having to prove himself, because I don't think he really wants that, because I think in the back of his mind, he knows he hasn't been able to stay healthy. He knows that to do it, he watched the guy across second base from him do it year in, year out before he got the big deal in Altuve. And he knows the grind, and he knows the scrutiny. And I think that there's a concern there.
Well, if he has a ballpark, then I don't know if he's – but the thing is he willing to share it? Because
he's not sharing it publicly, for sure.
No, I'm talking about with just James Click. Not necessarily from a public standpoint.
Oh, I think he's putting
it on
the table.
Hey, look, this is what I at least – see, at least John Jones has been public about it. He's like, look, 8 to 10 million, that's significantly low. Well, what does that mean? That means you want at least, what, 15, 20 million? But he's being public about it.
But
you
can't get it unless you ask for it. Because the worst thing that can happen is they can say no. So what I'm throwing on the table is probably outlandish. I'm throwing 6 to 8 years. I'm throwing 30 million plus. And I'm saying, okay, tell me why not. This is what I want. And then the discussion goes from there. So if you're having that discussion, other than you're an above average fielder with a rocket arm and you had a hell of a playoff run last year, tell me why you are worth that much more than Alex Bregman, that many years when you can't stay healthy, and how close do you think you're worth getting near Francisco Lindor?
I hope
Lindor?
He doesn't think 25 or 30. He's
oh,
not
he's
worth...
thinking at least 25, Nick. He's thinking 25
he's
to 30.
He's not. He should not even say the word 30.
Oh, my God. I believe it's coming out
he
of his mouth.
He should not even say that
Him
word.
Or his agent, I would believe it's coming out of their mouth.
I guess you want to start high to
Again,
negotiate,
yeah,
but
worst
still.
Thing is they could say no.
But 30... Like, I would be almost embarrassed to ask for 30 at this point.
No one knows but you and James and your agent. No one knows. And Jim
But
Crane.
How do you know James? Like, James is like, oh, you want 30? Okay, I'm going to tell the public this is what you want. That way it doesn't make us look that bad. You want 30 and you think you're worth 30.
You
of course, James,
a good point.
James Click probably won't do that, but I can see them publishing or leaking
he
a story
won't do
to
it
the
if
Chronicle.
They get a deal done. He won't do it if they get a deal done, but I guarantee you if they don't get a deal done, it comes out at some point.
Yeah,
hey,
he can
we
leak
were
it to
willing
the Chronicle.
To do a deal, but when he threw his numbers out, we aren't going like that.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he rejected the deal, I mean, I think it was intentional that they made that public. We made a deal. At least one of the sides wanted to make it public, whether that was Carlos Correa or the Houston Astros. Sometimes these deals that don't go through, they want the details to go public because it is a negotiating tool, and it could earn or make you lose some negotiating leverage. I don't know what Carlos Correa is saying, but I'm just being honest with you. I think if you want to start high, I think he can say 25, 26 to 7. I think the words 30 should not come out of his mouth.
If he starts high, he's starting at 30.
30 million a year. You're crazy. Well, I'm not paying you
30. I agree with
you. Go let another team pay 30 million a year. I'm not doing that.
I agree with you, but I also believe that realistically, him and his agent are throwing that number on the table.
Bye, Felicia.
And that's
I'm not paying you 30.
Because
I'm
here's the other thing, and we mentioned this the other day when Bleacher Report came with this ridiculous notion that the Reds, the Giants, and the Dodgers would be the top three teams best suited for Carlos Correa if he leaves the Astros. Well, you got Corey Seager with the Dodgers. I'm telling you right now, I'm not mad at anybody, and I would consider doing it in a heartbeat. I would flip Carlos Correa for Corey Seager and never worry about it again.
The health concerns enough makes me be willing to pull the trigger and get and letting them walk. Like the health
little
concern
bit
alone.
That you lose with Seager's defense as opposed to Correa's, and it's not that far away.
I'll take that,
but I'll take the offense and the reliability. I'll take Seager's offense and the average and the power over Correa's and the reliability. And I will be fine with it.
I'm with you. I just think that if they're throwing out numbers that high, it's not realistic. I'm not mad at Carlos Correa for throwing that number out if he really knows he's not worth it because he's trying to get the best possible deal. But we don't know that. We don't know what he's really thinking. We don't know what he really thinks he's worth. He's obviously not going to share that with anybody else besides the agent in the Houston Astros. And it's going to be up to them to see whether or not they're going to make that public. And we don't know.
Because here's the other thing. Even if you don't get Corey Seager, who's a free agent, Even if you don't get one of the other free agents on the market because Jim Crane's not ready yet to open back up the checkbook and Correa walks. We've talked about this. Then Bregman slides over to shortstop. You got Perez on the roster. You got other options that you can put at third base.
No question.
You can find a third baseman probably a hell of a lot cheaper than one of these bright young shortstops, and you still are going to be okay.
And to be honest with you, like I said yesterday, when I hear James Click talk about this situation, he does not seem like he has a massive incentive to get this deal done. I could be wrong. I know John Granato and Lance and you all have different sources. I'm just saying from his tone, from the way he addresses me, he doesn't seem like either A, he doesn't have the incentive, or B, that they're so far apart on the deal that they both kind of know that it's likely that they're not going to get a deal done. That's the way he's talking to me right now. But I could be wrong. And I would love to see or hear that Carlos Correa got signed, but I just don't want to hear some crazy number at 27, 28, 29, 30 a year for 6, 7, 8, 9. That's crazy to me.
I think he's asking for it. I just think you got to be careful what you wish for, because if you go through this season having to prove it all year, you could be financially...
Get some Apollo Men's health first, and then see if you... And see, well, maybe you'll get paid.
Well, here's the thing. As Nick mentioned, it's April. It's a new month. And guess what? Well, a new month means baseball and spring. Well, you can swing for the fences as well as put a spring in your step. And all it takes is one thing, reaching out to the people at Apollo Men's Health. Whether you do it online or you do it via the phone call, once you set up your first appointment with Apollo Men's Health, you're going to find out men and women can get to feeling like they felt back in their 20s all over again, from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom. They can help you every step of the way. They can get you the energy back. They can get you feeling like you haven't felt in years. They can give you the thought that, hey, I feel great, and I want to do more today, and I want to do more for my family, and I want to do more in the gym, and maybe you want to do more in the bedroom. It's all possible. They're conveniently located near downtown Houston. Two locations. Dr. O used to work at the other clinics. Now he owns these, and he knows how to do it right. They're going to take care of you. All it takes is a phone call, 832-664-9966, or go to apollomh.com. Set up that first appointment. You're going to find out most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. And this month, you get a free B12 shot on your initial visit when you mention my name, Joel Blank, and ESPN Radio. I get a B12 shot every Friday. I'm telling you, it gives you just a little extra zip. It gets you feeling a certain way, and that's a good thing. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. They're great people doing great things. Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.